Okay, everybody, welcome back to another edition of Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. I'm joined here today with my co-host, Justin Cook, and our other host, James Sloan. We have a few things to talk about tonight. It might be a little bit shorter of a night than usual, but I don't know, James. What did you want to start with tonight?
I'll just, I guess, probably pay to start with the sports, you know, with the Super Bowl having just happened and all that. Did either of you two get a chance to see the game?
Well, I know Justin did.
I watched it. It was definitely a good game. Definitely full of rituals as well. It's like a car accident. You got to watch, even though you know it's, you know, and like anything else, it's fun to kind of decode these things and see, you know, what they're trying to show the American people, or you know, the world, the people of the world, for that, you know, for that matter. And I think, you know, just from a couple observations, cockier and, you know, they're always cocky, but it just, you know, they even with more people waking up, they still don't mind to keep, you know, doing the shit, you know. And I think there's a reason for that too, because, you know, to the casual onlooker, like, you know, they'll get more wrapped up in, you know, petty symbolism stuff, as far as, instead of deeping, you know, digging into the real meanings, or, you know, or into some of the real issues, I think, you know. But it definitely shows, you know, yeah, of course. I don't know. You know, we had the Beyonce on there, you know, flashing the pyramid as always. We had, you know, her.
Pretty blatantly, like, too, man. Pretty blatantly from the still shots I saw. I mean,
very blatant. Not even hiding it. Before the game, we had the supposed Sandy Hook students. Who knows if those kids even go to, you know what I mean? It's just they're being, you know, pulled around the country as props, and, you know, and, you know, a lot of, you know, the black and white that we always see too, as far as one of the, you know, a couple of the backup dancers were wearing, for the halftime show, the black and white, things. But I think more than anything, cause we always have those type of rituals. The fact that the lights went out, now I know this is, you know, it sounds funny, to say something like this, but just the fact right here, I wouldn't have thought nothing of it if it didn't go out for 33 minutes and come back on at 9:11 p.m. You know, what do you guys think about that?
I had no idea about that.
Yeah, the lights were out for 33 minutes in the third quarter. The lights went out right after, not too long after halftime.
Well, you know what people would say? They'd say it's a coincidence, but I mean, how many times are they going to throw that number in our face to remind us, you know?
Right, two numbers, 30, 33 and 9/11. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and I think they're letting us know who owns it, and who owns the country, who owns the media. On another thing too, I think they're trying to push it off as just being Masonic, when, you know, obviously it's somewhat Masonic, but it's not like your everyday Mason is, you know, New World, or, you know what I mean, it's Illuminati, or whatever you want to call the elite that are really the ones making the decisions here. I think a lot of these groups are there to shift the blame onto, not that they're not involved in esoteric activity, but.
James, what did you think as a foreigner watching the Super Bowl for the first time?
Yeah, it was the first time I've watched any NFL. Well, I mean, obviously I've seen bits and bobs, you know, highlights, and then obviously in movies. I mean, there's a lot of movies about, you know, NFL and that sort of thing. So, but first time I sort of sat down and watched a game. I mean, obviously the most similar thing in other parts of the world is probably rugby. I mean, it's a different game, but it's somewhat similar with the kicking, right, and that sort of thing. I don't know. It's a very different kind of sport, obviously. I mean, you know, with the, obviously it's not particular. I guess your aerobic capacity probably wouldn't be the greatest thing, important thing. It's, I guess, more stop start. You know, I guess speed and power is more important. But there's some guys, you know, with some good moves in there, some good footwork. I mean, that touchdown, you know, some of those steps are pretty good. It reminds me a lot of rugby, but...
For example, your running backs are, it's all about mostly agility and making a quick cut, you know, and then your linebackers and linemen or your linebackers and safeties are there to make the big hits, and you know your wide receivers are usually fast and very athletic, and your quarterback usually has a good arm and a good head on his shoulders, pretty much. And linemen are big strong fat guys usually. I was a lineman, so I could say that.
Yeah, I noticed there was a lot of some of the guys look really quite buff, and others looked a little. To be carrying a lot of weight around the midsection, around the butt, but
yeah. Oh yeah, but you know the thing is, those guys they're still running 4.8, 4.9 40s. You know, I mean some are around 5 flat, but that's the amazing thing about some of these guys that are 300+ pounds.
Yeah, that's fast. I mean, I assume that's probably. Maybe a rolling start rather than from a gun, but that's still really quick.
No, that's from 40 yards from stop.
Yeah, dead stop. That's from a dead start, James.
Well, like, if it's a gun though, or do they just like touch a pad?
Probably just touch a stopwatch, I would think.
Yeah, they have they have the NFL combines and stuff like that, and before you get drafted, I even had them like when I was in high school, you know, as far as like college combines where we'd go work out for different college, you know, when I was in prep school especially, we'd go work out for different prep schools, and they would time us, you know, with stopwatches or whatever in certain drills, like, you know. Shuttle runs and, you know, cone drills and, you know, and then the 40-yard dash is the most important. Lineman, it's more
yards. Yeah, I was thinking of meters because everyone else here, yards are a little bit shorter than meters, but that's still getting up there. Approaching Olympic sprint speed, really.
Well, no, that's more like that's four, like four. Those are the receivers like 4.1, 4 flat. The higher 4.9s are it's a little 4.8, 4.9s. There's some of those big guys do run like 4.6, 4.7.
No, I know something James wanted to get into tonight a little bit with some of the sports and some of the doping, which isn't exactly as popular of a term over here as it is overseas because they do things a little differently, I guess. You know, we'll get into the specifics of that a little bit, but what Justin, as far as the drug testing in the NFL, would you say it's a joke? Would you say that some of the better players are tipped off as to when the drug tests are coming? Because I certainly would.
Well, it's not even about being tipped off. There's so many masking agents out there as it is. You know, there's always going to be new things that people come up with that don't come up on this test or that test.
Just like HGH in baseball, they don't even test for the most strongest thing.
Right, HGH. Well, they supposedly, I believe they do have a test now in baseball, but it's not an exact test. I don't know exactly how it works, but they believe they have something in place for it, but it's not an exact science with HGH. You know, it's. I think it could be different levels as far as, you know, your body produce, because, you know, it's something that's pretty much not, I believe, naturally produced in the body. But
yeah. We had a caller. I don't know if you guys want to take a caller real quick, and then we'll get back to the sports, because we could go on the sports for a little bit, but we
Yeah,
you know,
we
with
got
that whole
other stuff too.
Yeah, we had that whole Santilli thing, which I wasn't really going to talk about this week, but we talked about it before, about, you know, me going on the Santilli show and the whole call with Judy Wood and Santilli muting me 3 times and then them making assumptions to the audience saying I've never researched her material, which was complete bullshit, but I was muted. And then he went on to say that I was running a psyop by not calling her Dr. Judy and all this shit. And then... on top of all of that, I didn't think it would get any more unethical. He actually publish my phone number and my address online and then said I was harassing him and stalking him. I got a caller right now. We're going to add to the call. He wants to talk about Santilli. He was a turn off your speakers, caller, please. Just turn down your speakers.
I got it.
There you go. Okay.
We real quick, I just wanted to say, too, before the caller starts, Santilli has been let go from American Freedom Radio. Maybe the caller can shed some light on this as well.
Oh, I sent a complaint personally myself, and I know other people did it. Normally, I wouldn't do that, but this guy told me he reported me to Facebook, said I was stalking him, harassing him. I sent him one message which had no threats in it at all. The only thing he could take as a threat is me challenging him to come on my radio show where nobody would be muted. That was about as far as a threat as that would go, and I have screen grabs of it all. It's still up on the website, guys. I'll get you guys the link, and all the bullshit he put on Before It's News, I screen grabbed all the 130-something comments. Everybody was tearing the guy a new a-hole on there because the guy's a piece of crap. And I don't know, no matter what, guys, as radio hosts or radio listeners, if there's anybody out there that thinks that it's cool that a radio host takes a caller's personal phone number and personal address and post it online, especially when we're in the 9/11 game. I mean, that's not cool, dude. Especially with the views I have on 9/11. I mean, there's probably a few people out there that would like to come beat my face in. You know what I mean? Not that I'm scared.
Not just 9/11, but Sandy Hook and everything else, too. I mean, you know, it's not just...
Yeah, and I got my kid on the weekends, and this guy really legit put my stuff up there. Now, the only reason I brought a little more attention to it, and people might say, oh, why do you bring attention to it if you put your real address and phone number? Luckily, I moved about a year ago, so it was my real address and my real phone number. But since then, they have changed. So as far as he knows, he did think he put my real stuff up there, and that was his intention. And God knows who's called it or gone by that place, but I am not there anymore, thank God. But why don't we let the caller what was your name again, Mark?
Hey, it's Mark from Houston calling, also known as Spartacus.
Awesome, Mark. Why don't you
Spartacus. I go by Spartacus because that says it all. Listen, guys, I've been on Santilli's ass since day one. I knew something was wrong. I was intrigued because he was going after Jones, and I got big issues with him, which I discussed in my two-hour interview with Jim Fetzer. And I've been on Santilli's ass, and we all hammered away at American Freedom. We got his ass thrown off the air, and he absolutely deserved it. I told him he would eat his words, and he was a total incompetent, and I have demonstrated that 100%. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Mark. No problem. Thank you. Is that all you had? Just wanted to get to say that?
Man. It's just that you got to listen to both interviews, you know, from Fetzer's side and from Santilli's side.
Oh, I did. We all did. We did. We heard the audio.
He edited out my call in because when he was hammered, had an argument with Fetzer, I was able to get the first call in, and I just told him, I said, you just haven't even done your homework. You don't know what you're talking about. He's got his head so far up Judy Wood's ass that he can't see straight. He don't know shit. But anyway, you know what I'm saying?
And what he did to the audio quality, too. He totally, on his version, he totally screwed with Fetz's audio, and on Fetz's version, it's totally clear. I mean, that's so unethical.
He's playing all the dirty tricks with the audio, with the mute, with the tone down, with the edit out. Stu Webb even told him that he added some loops to his when he recorded Gordon Duff's phone call. I don't know if y'all knew about that. But Stu Webb, I don't know, pretty credible, but he was somebody Santilli was buddying up to. He's buddying up to everybody on the in the business, and then we catch him in his lies and his no honor, no integrity tricks. And then he has to eat his words. And I told him live on there, I said, you're going to end up eating your words, buddy, and you are totally incompetent.
Oh, yeah. And did you see when he posted my address and my phone number and all that on the Before It's News?
Right. That's serious business right there, man. That guy is going to end up getting somebody killed. And he's going to keep doing what he does. And there's more that I can't really discuss right now. But this is getting to be real serious business. I talked to Fetzer today, and everybody's on to it, and we're all hammering away on it. And but this, you know, there's no way we can put up with. There's got to be some kind of honor and integrity in this world, you know, especially if you're going to be a so-called talk show host and talk about these very serious matters. I mean, 9/11 is the only last thing important thing in the world, man. It's the most important thing that happened in the history of the entire world. I can't believe people aren't into it. I've been into it since day one, but I'm unusual, you know. But it's interesting. It's fascinating. Don't you think?
Oh, of course. I mean, that's our main bread and butter here. I mean, we don't talk about it every week, but we talk about 9/11 probably 60-70% of the time. And I mean, that was the whole reason I called him. And he was muting me mid sentence in three of my points, and he did it so cleverly that it made it sound to the audience like I was just a Judy basher and I had never looked at her material. And I'm in the phone screaming. I've researched your material for like 30 hours of your presentations on YouTube, but I was muted. My phone was muted. And then eventually he comes back and says, I'm running a PSYOP because I don't call her doctor. Get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, anybody that's going to be accusing PSYOP is definitely PSYOP themselves. And by the way, the way he muted you, I couldn't tell. It did appear that way to me also. That's why you can't judge nothing until you hit both sides. Fetzer did a real good job of documenting everything. He had his ass covered and with the recordings. And everybody's on to this guy. We're getting faster and getting on to the show there.
You know, another thing, too, is even the guy that was, I believe, his co-host, Patrick Penry, who's, you know, he totally wrote him off, too. So, I mean, you know, this goes, and he said, you know, here's a guy that's calling everybody a shill, but yet he's drawing from the same shill circuit. He's drawing these same guests. And you know, to me, you know, him making the announcement that he wanted to be in a year, he was going to be as big as Glenn Beck and Alex Jones to me. You know, that just screams like he's either.
Yeah. Justin, your mic's cutting out.
Hey, man, I had a back channel to Patrick Henry for a while, whoever that guy is. But he challenged Santilli to meet him at Gold's Gym and to fight it out in a boxing match. You hear that, Santilli? He called you out, man. You're a coward if you don't go and get in a boxing match with that guy.
And this is what I said to him after the show, okay? Because I only sent him one message on Facebook. I'm just going to read it real quick. I know we've already gone through this, and we're going to move on to some other stuff after, but I'm glad you called about this with some more information. I wrote, "Hey, Peter, how come when I was questioning Judy Woods, you muted me three times so I couldn't finish my point? She also went on to tell your audience I have not studied her material, which is complete bullcrap, but I couldn't rebut it all since I was muted mid-sentence three times before the break. After the break, you came back to someone else first, which was strange enough, but before you put me back on the air, you went on to tell everyone I was running a PSYOP by calling her Judy and not Dr. Judy. That's such bullcrap, it's amazing. I was very polite to her. You muting me so I couldn't rebut was unethical and deceitful, and your audience probably thought I was just another Judy basher who never researched her material but was calling her wrong. That was so shady of you. I've never been muted on a talk show except on break. Too bad your audience didn't hear that part, huh? And I think that's part of the reason he had a direct phone line to call in and not Skype, because I would have had it recorded, as most people would if it was a Skype call. Make sure when you address me next time, it's Mr. Brian at Stavely to you. Don't try to belittle me with your PSYOP, just like he was trying to say. And then I wrote, I challenge you to call into my show on my turf where no one will be muted and try to explain yourself. People are seeing right through you and your crap. And ready for his reply? His reply, he didn't deny muting me, and I still have the screen grab right here from Peter T. Santilli. Fuck you. I can do whatever the fuck I want to fuck nut stupid asses like you, and it's my show, my mute button, and also my block button. Like, how unprofessional is that?
Unprofessional, but he's you know, he's just not a decent person. But let me just say that 9/11 truth is vital. It's the most important thing. It is the only thing that will ever provide enough leverage to get anything done, anything about anything in our current situation. And it is emerging. You know, William Rodriguez went to Iran this week and maybe had a talk with Khomeini. And so, you know, I follow this stuff because it's just so important. It's the most important thing that ever happened in the entire history of the world. And it's the only thing that can save us from the power structure we're under, because they own you. They own it all. They own it all, including you. I highly recommend that book. The author's name is Ronald McDonald. But it is a fact the bankers do own us. I can prove that on paper. And that's all a part of this. Huh?
I said, we know. Anyway, we're aware of that.
Yeah, well, that's what people need to understand, that they own us, period. But anyway, 9/11 truth is the best chance we've ever had to get out from under the slavery. And that's why I'm into it. That's why I do what I do. And I highly recommend you listen to my 2-hour interview on Fetzer's show. On Revere, under Mark in Houston, I'm calling for unity, and I think you guys will really enjoy that, and maybe you can give me some feedback.
Mark, how about we make a deal? We'll listen to your show, but you listen to my show that's on Fetz's Blogspot, too. Did you hear that one?
I did. I heard you guys going at it today, and okay. I want to acknowledge you and thank you for your efforts. And everybody out there that's into 9/11 Truth, all the pilots and for truth, and everybody that's all done all the great research, I want to thank them personally for what they've done. There's a lot of brilliant people into this, and we've proven it upside down, sideways, any way you want to do it. Now we need more leverage. And again, I thank you for your efforts, and I guess that's about all I've got to say.
All right, Mark, before you get off, if you could just make it a little easier for our listeners, if you could go to Fetzer's place where your archive is and just grab the link and drop it in the chat. That way everybody can have it. It'll make it a little easier for people to find it because he's got so many shows up there. And I have a second show that I have a second show that I did with him. Me and Justin did a show where he was on our network 3 months prior to that one, where we really went at it too. And it was a very compelling show. I don't know if you heard that one also.
I've been into it today. I'm going to review it, and I'll put that link in right away. It's, Jim Fetzer, the real deal, and Mark from Houston. I'll put the link in, and I hope everybody gets a lot out of that. And the only other thing I got to say is I just really want to send my love out to everybody that's listening, and thank you for your efforts.
Okay, Mark, when we get off the air tonight, why don't you give this phone number a call about a half hour after? Maybe you can talk a little bit.
I hear you, man. I hope you got my number, but I will plan on calling.
Okay, buddy. Thanks a lot. Thanks for calling.
That's a Roger. We'll connect later on, man. Have a good show. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye, Mark. Thank you. All right. Early caller tonight, huh, guys?
Yeah.
That Santilli guy really did nothing, no justice for himself. And what did we all say? He is going to bury himself with this shit. And they all do it. I mean, you know, guys, I mean, it doesn't matter if it was Justin James or fucking Joe Schmo. No radio host has any business posting your home address and your phone number on the... That was the bottom line for me. I mean, I feel like wringing this guy's neck, you know?
Well, I mean, even in general, even just to an activist, even just, you know, like there's no... Like, for you to do that, you know, why would you do that? It's not like... You know what I'm saying? Like there's no reason behind it other than just being a complete motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like just like that's your only way that he can win, you know, or at least appear to win is to try to turn the table on you and pretend like you know, like you were stalking him when in reality you were just, you know, asking a legitimate question, which is what we do with 9/11. It's, you know, it's what we do with everything. You know, and if asking questions are not allowed, then there's something wrong with it. You know, and here's the thing. I mean, you know, the guy is just, you know, he's totally going off. You know, I was listening to another show with him. You know, I was listening to the show. He had Mark Taylor on, which is, if you guys don't know, Mark Taylor is the kid who was locked up in Arizona, I believe right now to this day. He was one of the kids that got shot at Columbine, and he's still locked up because he's, you know, come forward with a bunch of shit. and talk shit about Big Pharma and all this other stuff. And they have him in there like a zombie now. And he had him on there, and he kept saying, like, you're going to hear this for the first time ever on the Pete Santilli show. And to me, it just sounded like, you know, like worse than Jones.
The self-promotion is out of control with that fucking guy. Out of control.
It wasn't the first time I had heard this information. The only reason I clicked it is because I was on the website and I was looking for more information in it. And I said, wow, interview with Pete Santilli, because this had been going on. You know what, though? I couldn't even listen past like a half hour, 45 minutes, because he kept self-aggrandizing, like I said, only on the Pete Santilli show. Next, we're going to have this guest, like everything is, like a fucking circus act. I don't know. That's the only way I can put it.
Makes you wonder why Clues are silent about this guy, because they accuse Brian of shameless self-promotion just for introducing himself on his radio show.
Well, robots aren't allowed to do that, me being the sim, and all,
Yeah,
they really do say that. I speak of myself in the third person because I introduce myself on my radio show. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I'm not supposed to let people know who I am. But that's the Santilli guy. I mean, we've come across some definite shills, and we're not going to sit here and do a whole shill show and go down the list. But that guy, I mean, he's up there. He's way up on the list. I mean, he's just so obviously, blatantly, like... the guy's a dick. Sorry. The guy's a total dick.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys, anybody that hasn't seen it, I posted the link in the chat, and I'll do it again. You guys got to check out the thread. I'll reopen the Peter Santilli page in a few minutes on our website. You can see the screen grabs of the message I sent him, and it has the link to the Before It's News thread. I'll throw it up a little after, though, because I don't want you to get distracted when we get to our next topic. But why don't we move on to something else? I don't know. Unless you guys got more on Santilli, I think we pretty much said what we need to say. I mean, the guy's a total fraud. It's only hurting the Judy Wood people, too, and I tried to help them out and actually got pretty much kicked out of their group, even though I thought they were one of the more groups of people, even though I don't agree with them on some things, especially the way the towers were destroyed, which is their big thing. I do tend to think, for the most part, most of them were open-minded, and I tried to stay in their groups
and
talk with them.
They get the no-plane thing, at least.
But they're riding this guy's jock like it's crazy, and I had like 12 different people in there telling me that it's not even a big deal that he put my phone number and address up there. So I said, well, why don't you guys all post yours so I can have it? Post all your addresses and phone numbers up. Too bad I didn't get too many takers on that one, huh?
The caller made a good point, too, in that it's actually worse what he did because you, in fact, don't live there. I mean, so you could read in the newspaper that somebody was the victim of a case of mistaken identity. They went to that house thinking it was you,
Yeah,
In fact, I know that happened to somebody. I know a home invasion happened, and they went into the wrong drug dealer's house and tortured some poor lady and her boyfriend. You never know that they could just break into someone's, whoever lives there now's house, and be like, hey, where's Brian Stavely? He doesn't live here. We don't know what you're talking about. And you never know with the kind of nuts that are out there, with the type of people that are running around, you never know. It's just not good for business, and it's just not legit. If you want your shit out, you'll give it out,
Yeah, I do have to address one thing in the chat. I appreciate everything the caller said about Santilli. Anon0945 said, anyone pushing Willie or Pilots for Truth is just distracting us. Willie Rodriguez and Pilots for Truth, total shills, total bullshit. Maybe the caller doesn't know that, though, so let's not jump to conclusions.
One thing I will say about Pilots, though, is didn't they at least kind of help confirm the no plane thing as far as, and I'm not saying I vouch them, I'm just saying as far as, some nuggets in the pile.
I know, but it does feel like another one of those forums where there's just a ceiling where they won't go past.
No, of course. I mean, we know that. We know what we're dealing with. But I'm just saying, as far as, it helps some people get over that ledge. If there's no example of these planes even flying, then, you know, that's all. Just, you know, looking to say that there's a little, but no, I agree, you know.
Yeah, I've talked to Willie on the phone for an extended period of time, and you can just tell he was bullshitting. And I know James and Justin for sure, when we were, you know, back in the day on LRF, we did a lot of research on Willie and his story and how it just, guys, if you take the time to look into his story, the guy would have to be an absolute magician or Superman to complete the feats that he says he did.
He was a magician.
Oh, yeah, he actually was a magician at one time, but I'm saying, yeah, okay, I should leave it at Superman then. He would have to be Superman to complete the feats that he supposedly did, you know?
Yeah. Oh wow!
I think in regards to pilots, though, like he just said to pilots in general. I mean, like if a pilot just randomly comes out and says to somebody, you know, well that video we saw of allegedly Flight 175 and a plane can't bank that degree in that time, or you know, a 767 can't travel that fast at that altitude. I mean, that, you know, that's useful. I mean, it doesn't make them a shill, you know. I mean, I would have serious.
Good point.
I agree. I think there are certain things, right, that like, you know, certain jobs in this thing have brought to our attention. You know, for example, just to, you know, I totally agree with that. I think, you know, that's why, and they might say, well, hey, you may be right. They may agree with some of it, but on some chances they just want to stick to what they themselves, you know, can prove and say, hey, you know, people with video or whatever, you handle that type of thing. You know, I don't know. That's I agree with James. So I think that it's, you know, somewhat there's some worth in their findings. But, you know, go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying that Pilots for 9/11 Truth is an organization. But I think he just said pilots. And I mean, he just said all the pilots that have, you know, I mean, like any pilot can say.
Yeah,
something.
Yeah. I maybe took it.
It's not like every pilot that thinks 9/11 was an inside job is going to be part of that organization, you know.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. I kind of jumped to the conclusion he was talking about Pilots for Truth. But yeah, regular pilots that come out and make statements about how it's impossible for, you know, for a plane to be that low at that speed, or it's impossible to do this, it's impossible to do that. That's, you know, that can be helpful stuff. But as the organization, yeah, I don't trust them, and I certainly don't trust anything that comes out of what Willie has to say. And as we've known, and as we've gotten deeper into what really happened on 9/11 and realizing the vacancy of the buildings and everything, we know that Willie Rodriguez's story about the explosions in the basement, bullshit. Kenny Johanneman's testimony, bullshit. You know, carrying the guy covered in blood and all that, that's all bullshit. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, I can't really believe anything that would come from Willie Rodriguez. But I do appreciate the caller's points on Santilli. I think he's right on. But if you're following really Rodriguez at all, I think you need to really look into some of the, you know, supposed facts of his feats, or however you want to word it, and kind of tear it apart. I don't think it'll take you too long to realize what a load of crap it was. The man with the magic key.
Well, the thing that no one talks about is this absurd story about how he, you know, the building collapsed when he was just outside it, and then he dove under a fire truck.
Like, oh, that is absurd. That is absurd. And he dove under the fire truck, and then he was fine. And I mean, it's almost as absurd as your buddy there that surfed down from the 84th floor, surfed the debris down as the tower was collapsing.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know,
and he only broke his legs.
Yeah, we got Judy Wood saying all the cars were toasted. What about this fire truck? Miraculously, you know, and then even if the fire truck's okay, well then, you know, how do you get up and walk away? Like, you would be surrounded by steel. The whole truck would be, you know, you'd be 110 stories on top of you.
Remember how, you know, when I tried to question Judy on the cars and why they look, you know, no license plates, and to me they look like they're just cars from a junkyard that are towed there. And maybe that's why the fire trucks didn't have that same look too, because, you know, normally you don't find too many fire trucks at a junkyard. Find plenty of cars. So it kind of makes sense that, like, you know, the cars were all toasted up with the Judy Wood look, but the fire trucks weren't. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying?
I think she had one or two fire trucks. But either way, there was a lot of brand new ones sitting there untouched. You know, either way. So, I mean, it, you know, it would, it, it would affect, I would think, everything in that, you know, in that whole little block, I would think, you know. I don't know how powerful really this weapon she claims really is, but you know.
Well, I tried to ask her that, and she wouldn't answer that either. Remember, I tried to ask her about the cars, the paper, and the strength of the weapon, but I guess every answer was either I haven't studied her material or I need to buy her a book. So and that's happened on two separate phone calls.
And here's the thing too about it. It's like, you know, so like you're saying to someone, like, to know the truth about it, you have to buy this book. Like that's to me, like, that's not very for, at least
that just
like,
shows you that know, you don't really care about what we're doing. I mean, you know, right, if you know right. the knowledge, spread it. I mean, right. sure, if you can make money on the side, but don't right. withhold well, knowledge to make
right.
money on the
well,
side.
Well, that's the thing. If someone calls and asks you a question, then answer it, and then you can say, you know, give them some information and say you can read further upon it in my book. That way, you know, at least you pique interest. But, you know, oh, no, you got to read my book. You haven't looked at my stuff. This is evidence. It's not a, you know. And here's the thing: science has a hypothesis, then a theory, and then at the end, it can be considered evidence. You know what I mean? You know, then it can be considered fact. It's just, you know, for her to say it's all evidence and no theory is just.
Oh yeah, that's amazing.
Back
afterwards.
You know?
I mean, and we all have theory, and nobody here can say besides the people that actually perpetrated it or planned it or whatever. Can say they interject no theory. Yeah, of course, my buddy's over here pointing at me. Of course, that'd be no theory. You know, everybody's got some theory, even if it's only 10% theory, and then 90% right, which most people probably aren't. But, I mean, for her to say that her story has no theory when she's talking about a weapon that we've never seen and we didn't even see any... like, you know, crazy flashing things in the sky or anything indicating something was going on. And she, to say she has no theory, I think out of all the 9/11 camps out there, I would think that hers would tend to have the most theory, honestly. I mean,
oh, what are
you
saying? The towers are still standing there.
No, yeah. That's what they like to come back with. No, that's definitely not what I'm saying, James.
What was that, James? So everyone could hear that.
No, James was saying how, like, when we say, when we argue with, you know, Judy's point or whatever, or these other people's point, they'll be like, oh, so what do you think? The towers are still standing there? No, obviously
not, you fucking idiot.
I mean, give me a break. They try to make us look stupid. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, the towers aren't still standing there. They got knocked down that day. I mean, that's the only, you know, I mean, the only true part of the story. You know?
The only definite, yeah.
The only definite is the towers were there, and now they're not.
Yeah.
Hey, what's the bet, Brian, that Judy Wood's book is probably the world's second most expensive book after The Gelatin Bee?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure, you know. You got to buy Gelatin Bee. You got to buy Judy Wood's book. You got to buy Richard Hall's study. We got to publish that out. I don't know if that's free, but, you know. The Gelatin Bee one was good, though, 400 and something bucks to find one piece
like
of evidence.
40 pages or something, mostly
pictures. And Judy's thing is, her book, Judy's thing is, okay, I watched like 30 to 35 hours of her presentations, you know, which is very boring, but I sat through them, 4, 5, 6 hour ones, okay? And she did show a lot of her information on there, a lot more than she was letting out on the radio. And I'm sorry, I just wasn't buying it. But we also, guys, did we or did we not go through many and many and many, I mean like thousands of her pitches on Let's Roll? We went through tons of her pitches, you know? There were the official, like the FEMA documented photos, and there were the photos that she had. I mean, we went through all of them, you know? It's not like we didn't look at her stuff.
No, definitely.
But you haven't read the book.
But we haven't read the book. Why don't we take a quick break? Oh, okay, Justin, go ahead.
I don't know. I mean, I've read excerpts of the book. I mean, you know, I've definitely seen a good amount of it.
Santilli wouldn't let you say that, though. If you were on a show, you'd get muted right there before you could let that information out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Why don't we... Why don't we take a quick 3-minute break, guys, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Dose of Reality Radio with Brian Stavely, Justin Cook, and James Sloan. Okay, everybody. Welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely, along with my co-hosts, Justin Cook and James Sloan. I don't know what you got. What do you think about that little DMX right there, Justin? Pretty good song, huh? Is Justin with us? James, are you there?
Yeah.
I guess Justin must...
Sorry, I was muted. Yeah, no, that brings me back a lot of memories. The old DMX stuff. That's like what I used to rock out to before my football games with the helmet. But yeah, no, go ahead.
Before you were doing the four forties.
No, the best I ever ran was I slightly broke 5 flat. That was the best I ever ran. That was at prep school.
That's pretty fast for a big guy. How big were you then? I mean, that's like ridiculous. Yeah, that's a good speed.
I'm about 6 foot 2 4. I was about 245 at the time. 6 foot 245.
Jesus, man, do you have any colleges looking at you after high school, or did you kind of drop out,
No, I'll talk. No, I was supposed to go to a few colleges. What happened is my GPA was not high enough, so I had to go to prep school. And what happened at prep school was they still said, okay, we're going to come and let you play here, but all you have to do is go to community college for a semester. And that's when it was right around the time when 9/11 happened, and that's when I, like, I don't know, started screwing up in life. I was hanging out all night, you know, gambling. I don't know. I just got caught up with the wrong crowd, I guess, and I was mad because I didn't get into college right away. But I was supposed to go to either Sacred Heart, supposed to go to like Division I AA school, Southern Connecticut. You know, I was supposed to go and play football. You know, nothing big time. But I played with some big time guys that played for Purdue and Michigan State and stuff like that. A couple guys that ended up playing in the pros too. Dan Orlovsky, I played against him. But you know, that's like a lifetime, 11 years ago now, so.
Yeah, no, we,
12 years ago.
We don't usually talk sports and stuff like that. You guys know we're always talking 9/11, Sandy Hook, all types of stuff. But this kind of like a sports topic we kind of wanted to get into tonight a little bit. And it's not just sports. It's drugs and integrity in general and like doping in sports and what you guys think of it, how widespread you think it is in different sports, and do you think it's fair or not? And in my opinion, I think it's not fair, especially for the purists of the game and for all the records that have been broken, let's say in baseball. I mean, it doesn't mean anything to hit 50 home runs anymore. If you did that back in the day, I mean, you were the man, you know? I know James had some stuff he wanted to talk a little bit about doping. I mean, James, you want to get into that a little bit?
Yeah, it's a big... first of all, I just want to say that actually it does pay to talk about sports because, as we've seen at the Super Bowl, they do use sports in their pursuit of things. And, it's a sport along with music, I guess. Although music's a lot more programming in that, but is a big distraction for everybody, you know. It keeps us busy, you know. You said, Brian, when you were really into sports, it occupies almost all your free time, and then you couldn't research, you know. That stuff goes by the wayside. First of all, actually, just before we get into that, I was going to ask you guys, what do you guys think of like the American anthem now? Because I know that, Brian, you said to me that before you woke up, as it were, you said you were quite, you know, patriotic and you used to sing it a lot and stuff. What do you guys think of it now?
It doesn't really hold as much meaning to me anymore just because I'm so disappointed in everything I found out. So you probably wouldn't see me belting it out anyway. I mean, if people stood up at a baseball game, I'm going to stand up and sing it with them. But I'm not going to get up at a bar drunk and belt it out. You know, that's about where I stand. I still don't even really understand the whole damn thing, to tell you the truth. I mean, even reading it on paper in front of me, I mean, it's kind of written kind of strangely. I don't know. What do you think, Justin?
Well, it was
Spangled Banner.
It was written during the War of 1812, you know, by Francis Scott Key after the Battle of Baltimore. You know, I mean, to me, I don't know. I like you said,
it's lost a little bit of luster, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing I do love hearing though is I do love hearing, there's nothing like hearing a good, fife and drum corps. Like you ever, like they play at the parade. Don't get me wrong. You know, like I'm like the least one to give a shit anymore. You know, because now that I realize, like you know,
a good
the
Imperial
colors.
Death March every once in a while myself.
Oh, what?
An Imperial Death March.
Uh-huh. Dude, no, to be honest, fife and drum corps, it gets you fired. I could see how they used to go play that, like do 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 do, like you know, with beating on the drums and then go blast cannons at each other. You know. That would have been fun back then to be in the Revolutionary War, I would think.
What do you guys think about the Revolutionary War? I mean, because, you know, we've been lied to about everything. I mean, and with all these backdoor deals that we know and, that, like, you know, countries are supposed to be enemies with and what might have really happened with the England and the United States. How much of it do you think was, like, a bullshit, and how much do you think of it was them just really setting up camp over here?
Yeah. Well. I mean, here's the thing. It was a revolution in one sense, but on the other sense, they had their agents in place the whole time, you know, to make sure that it turned out a certain way, and to make sure that they still got, you know, because, like, you know, what a lot of people talk about, but they never really even bring up, is the fact that, like, you know, they talk about the founding fathers as being these heroes, and, you know, yeah, a couple of them were good guys, a lot of them were slaveholders, but here's the real thing about, they just go, you know, she goes to show like this.
Bunch of Freemasons, too.
Yeah, no, but here's the real thing, you know, where it comes down to the bottom dollar is that, you know, literally is Alexander Hamilton set up the first central bank, which was that in that day's version of the Federal Reserve. So, I mean, you know, there was a lot of people that were against the central bank, but they still let it happen. So, I mean, from that point on, you know, it just having the Federal Reserve is the third central bank. The second one was started up after the Civil War, because Shane commented earlier, during the Civil War, they actually put the greenback in. For a while, and that was to cut down, you know, they didn't keep them out of debt so they could fund the war, but yeah, so I mean, you know, because Andrew Jackson killed the bank before the Civil War, you know, he killed the second, or was it right after? I believe it was after, actually. I don't know. I got to get my history straight on that.
That's all right.
Yeah, but
either way, it doesn't have the same meaning now, knowing what we know. I mean, it's just, you know what I mean? You're not going to see me belting it out at a bar, I'll tell you that. You'll see me singing some Bon Jovi and pissing James off because he hates Bon Jovi. But
I never said I hate Bon Jovi.
I'm just playing with you. The first three albums.
But the only time, is it just me or like around here, like you know, I don't know, like if you have a, I'm sure, yeah, I know Brian does, like townie bars. The townie bars around here are always like when everyone's drunk at like 1:30 in the morning.
Oh, yeah,
like,
they always play it. Living on the Prairie, always.
Yes. Oh,
it's a big karaoke. That's probably the biggest karaoke song around here.
Yeah, yep.
Everybody's always singing it. I get involved sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not crazy about that song. I think he's got better one.
Oh, I think I like Wanted Dead or Alive better. I think that's a great song.
Yeah.
But anyways,
the docks.
Yeah.
Jesus better shit down on his. I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's Living on a Prayer though.
Yeah.
What was I saying? Well, let's get back into what we were going to talk about with the, with the doping, James, and the scandal that you were going to get into.